Chapter 18. On board the Northeast Regional train to Boston, they've had to split up, but at least they're in the same car. Poppy had accidentally led them first to the quiet car, but once the train pulled off, she instantly noted the other over-reserved passengers on board who greeted their arrival with annoyance, then alarm, and finally outrage. This wasn't a goddamn library, was it? She wondered. No, it was a train. Bouncing didn't make that much noise, and unless you were wearing jewelry, shaking was a relatively quiet activity. But this was no time for debate. None of them had tickets, so unless they could hide in the bathrooms, which was unlikely, the conductor would find them and throw them off at the next station, which was Mystic, Connecticut. Who wants to introduce radical kinesis in that town? They sure don't. The regular coach car's passengers seemed more accepting. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara were the first of the shakers to realize they didn't need the magic fingers apparatus any longer. They could shake on their own, and the trauma-releasing side effects were just as beautiful as they were with the cumbersome devices left behind. Shaking had now broken the chains of capitalism and become a proactive practice for superior individuals like themselves who are forever unable to sit still. The Amtrak basin and antiquated tracks made all the other passengers on board lurch from side to side, too. Yet these clueless shakers never even noticed the transcendental bliss that came free of charge from this onboard quivering. Poppy was lucky enough to find two seats together towards the back so she could sit with Adora, who hid surprise in an Easy Dollar plastic bag she got out of the trash can in the train station. If you see something, say something, was Amtrak's slogan, and surprise was definitely something. A couple across the aisle gave them a possibly high and mighty look, unsure if Poppy was unnaturally buoyant from the train movement or purposely bouncing for reasons they couldn't begin to comprehend. And the other one, who knows? She was shaking like a leaf. Maybe she was from Philadelphia and had been a passenger in that terrible train derailment that happened there back in 2015. Was she having flashbacks? Your guess is as good as theirs. Volta and Lipa keep changing seats so as to disguise their bouncing, but Volta's height makes all upward movement on a train problematic. Plus, even if she had a paid ticket, the air rights over each seat are ill-defined in the fine print of Amtrak's policy. Lipa's well-fed but inconditioned body makes a thundering sound when she lands on a seat. Maybe in business class the padding would be more forgiving, but here in coach it's brutal. As a friendly gesture to the other passengers, Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara break into their version of The Lion Sleeps Tonight, one of the few popular oldies that includes yodeling. But they don't get much of a response. Richard, now out of the closet with an assertiveness that would give even Larry Kramer pause, is craning his head to see if there are any cute guys nearby, but Daryl is covering him up with an Amtrak National onboard magazine he hastily grabbed from the pocket of an empty seat back and making eye contact with any woman he sees just so other passengers don't get the wrong idea about the dominating sexual preference of this now bicurious, bifurious penis combo. Twisted Billy is up to the letter H now, and it's a hard one to do on a train, especially with all the disapproving eyes on him from other rail riders. He's a capital H, of course. Can't they see that? No small letters like they are. Balancing on one leg with the other extended vertically, and his whole torso sticking straight out horizontally with one hand reaching up and the other down, he is the letter H. "Tickets, please," calls out a good-looking, middle-aged conductor, who's proudly featuring beard stubble as he enters the car from the front end. Poppy begins to freak, seeing all her followers before her spread out on their seats, heads bobbing up and down, or shaking side to side while other passengers remain relatively motionless. Is it just Poppy? Or do the others notice that the conductor seems to be bouncing on the balls of his feet as he scans tickets with his little machine? Lipa and Volta see it too, and he catches their eyes and gives them an approving wink. Could he be one of them? Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara wonder the same thing. Hallelujah the hills! As the conductor walks up the aisle, He sees Poppy's people moving in place, and as the train goes around a corner at what seems like an excessive speed, he shakes with it while still retaining the bounce in his walk. When they tell him they've lost their tickets and he just chuckles, they begin to be sure he's on their team. Campolina, ever the showstopper, starts shimmying in place like one of those hullabaloo go-go dancers she saw on YouTube. The conductor bursts out laughing and bounces up quite deliberately, ignoring the quizzical looks of the normal passengers and showing approval of drag bouncing. He doesn't even ask for her ticket. Richard's gaydar suddenly goes off full tilt, and he pokes his head right through an article on the charms of New London in the Amtrak magazine to get a better look at this African-American hunk. Daryl is horrified to be connected to anything this obviously gay and tries to drag Richard back into the down low of his pants to cover up this blatant cruising. But the conductor notices Richard right away and, rather than being offended, aims his scanner at his penile head and zaps it in foreplay. Oh, God, the conductor is a bouncer flouncer, Daryl thinks. How will Richard ever be able to fuck Marcia now that his own guided missile has turned queer? By now, Poppy is convinced they're safe here on board, bouncing and shaking naturally from the diesel electrical power of a General Electric locomotive engine. And hopefully that one-time freeloader Richard can continue pulling his own weight and help the movement by doing something more than just hanging from the crotch of that fanatical employee of her mother's, who at last may be able to see the light at the other end of Marsh's tunnel. "You two lovely ladies comfortable back here?" the conductor asks with a conspiratorial bounce, as Poppy does the same in her seat out of mutual respect. "We certainly are," Poppy answers with amazement, stunned to realize there are other bouncers unknown to her cult who are bouncing freely on their own out in polite society without harassment from others. Adora recognizes she is among the converted and opens the plastic bag and lets Al. That's the name he volunteered, isn't it? Yes, Al, such a simple name for a possibly complicated man, she thinks, allowing him to get a glimpse of surprise inside. "Wow, that's a look," says the kindly conductor, approvingly as the cat trapped in a dog's body purrs back in thankful acceptance. Adora dares to shake sideways, dropping her beads, so to speak, letting a fellow outsider know that she, too, marches to a different drummer. "You and your friends are too special for coach class," Al whispers in the voice of a black savior. "Come on back to the business class car where you belong." Poppy bounds upwards from her seat with sudden optimism and gives a two-finger whistle to her followers. The whole gang leaps up, including Twisted Billy, who luckily is forming the letter L, which even normal individuals impersonate daily without ever knowing it. They shake and bounce out of their seats and down the aisle, much to the anger and confusion of the other coach riders. There goes Richard, following the conductor the way a hound dog would a polecat, eager for the first taste of receptive male-to-male oral sex. But Daryl resists, pulling back, holding on to the rear of other passengers' seats as they pass, digging his heels in to avoid the sensation of male lips around his female-only allowed private parts. Al the conductor ushers the whole tribe into the business class car, but a couple of the shakers, Campolina and Doubleback Barbara, pause on the gangway connecting the cars just to shake violently while risking getting their daredevil feet mangled in the jaws. Once inside the almost empty, more exclusive cabin, the others bounce and shake joyously to their seats together while a few of the riders, a prissy matron who is a dead ringer for the Diet Dr. murderous Gene Harris, and some kind of reverend who is obviously turning his nose up at the vow of poverty by paying to be in this all-seats-reserved section, move away, remembering to take their free beverage vouchers with them. Outside the lavatory, located right in front of the car, Al turns to a red-faced Daryl, who is still holding Richard back, and smiles seductively. Daryl sputters. Al lowers his hooded eyes down below. Richard blushes. God, the newly liberated penis thinks this conductor is as sexy as the brawny paper towel man, hotter than the liquid plumber model. Looking for a little action, Al flirts in the best straight-acting gay voice since Jeff Stryker's as he puts one foot inside the bathroom door. Richard jiggles in erotic excitement, and Al bounces back his cruising commitment. Daryl, for once, does neither. No, 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 he protests. I'm 100% hetero, a zero on the Kinsey scale. How about that tickler guy, Richard challenges from below the equator of the sexual divide, in a loud voice with a sideways shake to punctuate his gotcha moment. He never touched my penis, Daryl argues back, embarrassed to be reminded of this freak from his recent past, an earshot of Poppy, her grandmother for Christ's sake, and the rest of his new friends, much less civilian passengers who know nothing of his struggle. A brojob is a terrible thing to waste, Al says with a chuckle as he bounces up and lands back down, grabbing Richard by the neck of his member in a firm but loving way. Think one of those children's bamboo Chinese finger traps and you'll know just how tight this bond felt. Twisted Billy is so preoccupied with being the human LMNOP of the alphabet that he barely pays any attention to the tawdry melodrama unfolding ahead of him. This aforementioned L is basic, and the M and the N aren't that difficult. The O is a breeze, and the P even an amateur could do. But dissolving visually into each one and actually becoming this commonly used shortcut of those five letters takes a little practice. Poppy looks back at Twisted Billy and at first is confused, but then suddenly gets it. She does a pretty good impersonation of an O, but Billy's done that. She knows. It's a process. She sticks out her tongue and becomes the next letter, Q, in their shared secret alphabet. Poppy, Poppy, Poppy. Why is she the one who always understands first? Daryl jams one of his feet against the lavatory doorframe, but Richard is already halfway inside with Al. And then Daryl feels it, a man's mouth encircling his own unit. The chafing of whisker stubble comes next, the rough lips. And finally, the salty, testosterone-filled saliva that lacks the estrogen he so craves. Can a gay bouncer give a homo shaker with a hetero-bouncing top a blowjob? No one could dare call it a threesome with this much confused consent. Daryl looks back and sees the whole carful of passengers, the bouncers, the shakers, and the motion-impaired watching this sexual tug-of-war. Now everybody will have to answer the million-dollar question. Does no mean no when only half the person protests?